Right, the first reading is in the Old Testament, that's 2 Samuel chapters 11, the end of 11, from verse 26, and finishing in chapter 12, 13, the first part of 13. And that's page 314. So 2 Samuel 11, 26. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There are two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing, except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you, and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household I'm going to bring calamity to you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord."
The second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. That can be found on page 1070. John chapter 6 from verse 24. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jason, for the new song. Oh, it's new to me, never sung that one, never heard of that one before in my life. So, well, I'm here to be taught. A Penty song, I didn't know that. It does have that kind of Yahoo Yibbity feel to it, doesn't it? Well, there you go. There was a bunch of Galileans, and they had been fed yesterday by Jesus in the wilderness. So they came back today for more bread. But Jesus isn't there. So they, ascertaining that he's not there, get into a boat and they head for Capernaum, where they believe he will turn up. And we are going to Capernaum with them. That's where they found him. And it leads us to discover the difference between the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, between the work of human beings and the work of God. And Jesus wants us to discover the more important thing is to be concerned with the work of God. So, as we are setting out with these Galileans, we're very much concerned about the work of our hands. You see, they got there and Jesus was already there. Rabbi, how did you get here? When did you get here? It's a very practical question, because as far as they knew, Jesus hadn't got into the boat with the disciples when they left the previous evening. So he would be walking. But what they didn't get was that he would be walking across the lake, catching up with the boat, getting in it and finishing up in Capernaum. So they knew that despite the time lag between Jesus leaving sometime in the evening and them in the morning, they should have got there before Jesus, walking round the lake, except he walked across it. Very mysterious. When did you get here? Very truly, Jesus says, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed. You wouldn't understand me walking across the water any more than anything else, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You're just looking for me because you ate my bread and you think you were satisfied. Do you remember the Hovis advert? The little lad going up that hill to old Marl Peggotty's place to deliver the last loaf of bread of the day to the woman and then go down that hill on the bone shaker across the cobbles. Yeah, very good. Keep going. And he gets back to the baker's and the baker has the warmed crusts of Hovis bread with butter on them. And he sits down to eat. That's his reward, Hovis bread. And then comes the line, Hovis, it's as good today as it's always been. And we know the message, don't we? That Hovis has the secret of life. Hovis is your reward for your work. Buy Hovis and you will be satisfied until you hunger again. And the Galileans searching for Jesus, maybe us too, are all too easily distracted by the things of material substance, things we work for with our hands. I was once in a queue for the Dartford Crossing. You know, three lanes queues we are. And there's this camper van, and on top of this camper van was what probably was a hang glider. On the back of the camper van was a wonderful motorcycle, beautiful thing. Towed by a tow ball was a large trailer, upon which was a cruiser boat. And on the deck of this cruiser boat was a jet ski. And as you get alongside the camper van, it was a very impressive sight. As you get alongside the camper van, there's the words painted on the camper van, "The one who dies with the most wins." Very good. I enjoyed driving alongside of this, just kind of looking at all the toys. Because we can be easily distracted by stuff. Even stuff that we think gives life. Every one of those would enliven us in some way. Maybe bread can give us life. But Jesus says that's not it. What Jesus says is the one who dies with the most dies. Do not work for food that spoils, he says. In Jesus' day, the reason anyone went to work was to buy food. That was it. A day's work for their daily bread. And of course, daily bread is just that. Bread for the day, none for tomorrow. Another day's work. But the day before, they had been fed by Jesus in the wilderness without doing any work. How good is that? If we could be fed by this man, we may never have to work again. What's the term? Passive income. Passive income. I'm looking forward to it. It's coming. 165 days to go. Jesus isn't offering them bread for the day. Don't work for food that spoils. In other words, don't make your life's goal just to get by in the day. Work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. There's more to life than your daily bread. Because life is not about existence. It's about meaning. And the food that Jesus offers endures to eternal life. Not food that can be gained by the work of your hands. It comes as a gift. It has to be given to us by Jesus. The Son of Man, he says, is the one on whom the Father has placed his seal of approval. Now, the Jewish people knew about God's approval and how to get it. In the Jewish mentality, God's approval was earned by good works, works of worship and almsgiving, by the keeping of the law in a practical sense, by being a good person. So they think, well, if we need God's approval to get fed with bread like that, then give us specifics. Tell us what we have to do. What must we do to work the works of God? It's as if they're getting their life right by their own efforts. Somehow they could conjure up bread and fish in the wilderness just like Jesus did. And isn't it our constant struggle, if you're like me, and I think you are, our constant struggle to stop thinking that we are required to perform, to do better, to be a better person, to be kinder, to do more, not to get it wrong so often. Am I the only one with that kind of thinking going on in here? No, I don't think so. If we could achieve that, we would be satisfied. And we're so good at making Christian faith all about our efforts to be a better person and not about his gift. The gift that says that you are enough as you are forgiven, you are a worthy person in my eyes because he does it for us. His work on our behalf. He is the one who wins God's approval for us. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. See, the bread that comes as a result of the work of our hands will leave us unsatisfied. We will hunger for it again. Effort to make ourselves approved by God leaves us unsatisfied, unfulfilled. Jesus says there is no works for you to do, just one work. And that work is not a work of your hands, it's the work of your heart. Believe in him as the one God the Father sent. The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. Everything flows from him and his gift. Believing in Christ is the beginning of everything that happens afterwards. So he lifts the eyes of the Galileans from themselves. He lifts our eyes from ourselves to the heavenly things. But the Galileans want proof. They want some sign. What sign will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? And then they talk about that time when Moses prayed in the desert and God provided them with the manna, the heavenly food, the food from above. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven. And if Jesus would do for them the same for them, then they could just carry on as they were. Because somehow or other, it was still about bread in their heads. Where does bread come from? The shops. It comes from the shops, doesn't it? Tesco's or the baker's if you go to a posh shop. Just 3 years ago, after lockdown was lifted and we had left the EU, do you remember there were television pictures of empty shelves in the supermarkets, particularly in Northern Ireland, I seem to remember, probably still are. It wasn't that there wasn't enough bread and other stuff. It was that there were not enough lorry drivers. Not enough lorry drivers to get the stuff there. And think what it's like in the supermarkets if there's an oil strike. You know, when they're picketing the oil refineries and they can't drive the lorries to fuel the lorries to get the food to the supermarkets, which only operate on a just-in-time basis. Remember that. Because Jesus is saying, what is he saying? He's saying, it's a supply issue. Your supply lines are broken. And Jesus is saying to the Galileans, you've got to reestablish the supply line of this bread that gives you life. Very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. Moses was just the shopkeeper. He was not the supplier. The work God requires is to reconnect, re-establish that supply of true bread. Bread, he says, that gives life to the world. Because it's not bread, the substance, that gives life to the world. It's God who gives life. See, physical life, heartbeat life, may be sustained by the bread. But real life is found in something else entirely. True life, fullness of life, found in this living relationship with God. A relationship that's established by believing in Jesus as the one sent by the Father. It gives rise to faith. That's what our song said. The faith is born in us by this establishment of a relationship with God. And it trusts that God is the answer to our hungers. Our hungers, for love, for meaning, for significance, for value. That's where real life is found. The work of the heart as we seek God in the poverty of our need. Our spiritual, mental, emotional health will never be found in looking to ourselves to work out who we are, which is a preoccupation of our age. Our mental health is found when we seek to find out who Jesus is, looking to him, working that out. When we bring our need and our weakness to him, when we believe that Jesus is the true bread from heaven, the bread of God that comes down from heaven, gives life to the world. And the Galileans, having had their eyes lifted from the earthly concerns, they begin to pray the right prayer. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. That's a prayer for them in their day. And it's a prayer for us in our day. Give us this bread always. No other bread will do if we want to truly live. If we are hungry in our soul, and we all are, it may it be for this bread only. Aren't we hungry for a world where there's peace between Israel and Gaza and Lebanon, where there's peace between Russia and Ukraine, where our children can meet safely, where our streets are not breaking and erupting into riots and disturbance, where the people of Africa are properly fed? Aren't we hungry for these things? Aren't we hungry for Team GB to be above the Australians in the medal record? These are hungers that we bring to God. And Jesus takes this metaphor of bread and he applies it to himself. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And it's not an overblown statement that we might have had in the recent elections. Vote for me and we will fix the problems. It's a profound statement that Jesus makes to connect us directly with God. I am, he says. He uses the same words that Moses uses at the burning bush when he tells Moses his name. I am. It's the first of seven times it comes in this Gospel of John. You know that. I am God. I am God in human form. And in me, the supply chain is connected, established. If you believe in me, you may be hungry in the stomach, but you will never be hungry in the soul. You may be hungry in the mouth, but you will never be thirsty in the spirit. Because it's not bread that is just the physical stuff of eating. This is bread that is the bread of life, the bread that satisfies every aspect of human experience and existence. And it's a work that is done in our hearts, a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, lifetime's work that we continue on believing, working at it, trusting in faith, being changed and renewed as we find our hungers and thirsts satisfied in Him. And if those hungers and thirsts are not yet satisfied in you, then there's more work to be done. The work of our hands, our desire for stuff and an easy life, leaves us unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and in the end, we are worn out. But the work of our hearts, if we get it right, if we look to Jesus, will lead to the soul satisfaction of bread from heaven, that relationship with God in which we shall never hunger and thirst. Father, as we rejoice in the gift of this new day, set our souls on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.